And good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, Lynn.
That was
some music you've picked.
We can blame Kathy Forrest for that. She sent that around a while. It is Edvard Keel, and it's I Am Glad Because I'm Finally Returning Back Home, which apparently he was trying to make into a cowboy song. This was Russia in the 70s. He got censored, or much of my understanding. And he is now pretty much known as the Trolololo Man. This show's about pleasure. What a happy
I will forever know him as the Trolololo Man.
I know.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you, Edvard.
And thank you, dear listener, for listening right now. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And good morning. It's 5 minutes after 8 a.m., and you are, in fact, listening to Positively Revolting.
Our first membership drive show of this membership drive.
It's true. It is our very first showing in this membership drive, which started yesterday. That is sort of significant, but you know what else is significant, Lynn, about this day?
I've heard rumors, but please.
This is our 18th birthday. Positively Revolting turns 18 today. I began doing this program with Melody Silverwolf in 1994.
In the other century.
And it's, you know, what we have done over this last 18 years is look at both areas of resistance and things that must be countered, abuses of authority, situations of environmental devastation and degradation, human rights, civil rights, consumerism, all of those things that we know are things we are against, things that we want to banish from our society. But we have also understood for this 18 years that is not enough, that it's essential to look at things that we are for. And as we are building a new world together, it's important that we understand a vision that we are striving towards. And so we have also on this show focused on things like permaculture, on having meaningful relationships and time. We've talked with John DeGroff from the Happiness Initiative. We have talked with people who are, in fact, in the thought business of what we do proactively to make this world a better place, not just what we're against, but what we create. So that has been the praxis of the show for 18 years, and we are excited to be celebrating our birthday this morning with Rianne Eisler. She is the author of many groundbreaking books, such as The Chalice and the Blade, Sacred Pleasure, Sex Myth, and the Politics of the Body, and The Real Wealth of Nations, amongst many others. She is the founder and president of the Partnership Institute, and she devotes her research and practice to finding ways to deeply transform society towards a cooperative partnership model. Good morning, Rianne.
Good morning. Good to be with you, and happy birthday.
Thank you. It's wonderful to have you with us on this celebratory day, and we want to just sort of jump straight into things, I think. Our current society is very much based on competition and hierarchy. We're enculturated to accept this as normal, if not the inevitable outcome of our human evolution. Societal values of commercialism, consumerism, busyness, and meritocracy are taken as societal norms. Some people challenge the idea that there are no alternatives to this modern Western model. But as Arundhati Roy has said, another world is not only possible, she is on her way. And on a quiet day, I can hear her breathing. While we work together as activists and agents of social change creating that other world, it's vital to look deep into the roots of societal values and what they engender. What if we actually lived in a world that recognized the strength of our society was relationships between its people? What if cooperation and egalitarianism were valued as societal norms? How would things be if the world was valued as our sustainer and our host, and not just seen as this lump of dead mineral to be used and extracted for profit? So that's a little of the framing I kind of want to get to this morning. And to start us off, Rianne, You have looked into the archaeological record, studying societies based on cooperation. You are a macro historian, and the subject of your very first book, The Chalice and the Blade, sort of deals with that. Can you tell us more about the historical roots in this partnership or cooperative vision of society?
Well, first of all, I want to say that I really love the title of your show, Positively Revolting, because the positively is what I've been really focusing on in my work, as you know. And I think it's very important, as you said, that we not only critique, that we not only deconstruct, but that we also reconstruct. And the question for us really is, what does a society where our human capacities for consciousness, for caring, for creativity, rather than our human capacities, because we also have those, or we wouldn't see these, for those capacities for insensitivity, for cruelty, for destructiveness, are supported and realized. And that has been the question that I have asked in my research. And they're questions that are deeply rooted in my own life experiences about whether it really has to be this way, whether we have to have so much cruelty and insensitivity and violence. And what I found, and this is really gets right to your question, is that we really can't answer that question that I've been researching by using the old social categories like, ancient versus modern, or Eastern versus Western, or capitalist versus socialist, or religious versus secular. As a colleague of mine calls them, they're weapons of mass distraction, because none of these categories take into account the relationships, the cultural construction of the relationships that we today know have the most direct impact on nothing less than how our brains develop. And by this, I mean our intimate relations, our early parent-child relations, our gender relations. And so in The Chalice and the Blade, and by at that time I wasn't really into neuroscience as much as I am now, I looked at history, going way back into prehistory, from a perspective that actually takes those relationships into account. And I saw something fascinating, which is that once we look at this whole picture, if we look at the whole of humanity, both its female and male halves, if we look at the whole of people's lives, including our family and other intimate relations, we begin to see that societies that are authoritarian, that are top-down, that tend to be very violent, you know, whether it's Inquisitions or Crusades, whether it's, as in much of the fundamentalist Muslim world today, terrorism, stoning of women to death for alleged sexual independence, they are characterized by two things. They have very rigid gender stereotypes with a very rigid ranking of males over females, to the extent where honor in some of these societies is viewed as really having complete control over a woman's body and killing her if she's suspected of any sexual independence, and also families where they're very punitive families, kids, well, children.
And Rianne, don't you think, it seems to me these days it looks like the sociopathic personality in these types of cultures, especially in our culture right now, is what is honored. I see that, I mean, not between you and me and Ani and many of our listeners, but in the media, when I'm looking at this, the three-ring circus of the Republican, and in business right now with bankers, that this, and I would like to know how we can get past that, because it's horrifying to me.
Well, as you probably know, the focus of my latest research of my new book, The Real Wealth of Nations, is, again, an alternative economic system. And it's really only by changing our, because people keep talking about returning to normal economically.
Yeah,
well, it's
sort
normal
of interesting,
that got us to where we are.
Yeah,
today.
Right.
So we really have to find alternatives, and that requires recognizing, well, something that seems very evident, that the real wealth of a nation, of our world, consists not of financial assets. I mean, those can evaporate, you know, as we saw with those credit swaps and those derivatives, you know, in an instant.
Mm-hmm.
But it consists of the contributions of people and of nature. So we need an economic system that gives visibility and real value to the most important human work, the work of caring for people starting in early childhood and caring for our natural environment. And again, here we go back to gender issues, because caring, caregiving, they're devalued because they're associated with women and the feminine, whether it's in a woman or a man, by the way.
Right.
Or whether it's in social or economic policy. So again, we need a systemic approach that takes into account these issues that we've been told are only children's issues or women's issues, and that's what this work has been about. And you asked me about The Chalice and the Blade, and that book was really a revelation, the research for it, full of aha moments, as reading it has been for so many people, where so many things that seemed random and disconnected suddenly fell into place. And what it is about is basically that much that we're told is new, radical, like the women's movement, like the movement for children's rights, like the movements all over the world challenging traditions of domination, that they're not new, that they have very ancient, very deep roots in earlier cultures that did orient more to what I've called a partnership rather than a domination system. So it's up to us to understand that it's possible. That's the first thing. And the second thing, of course, is what are the most effective interventions? And we know that in periods of great disequilibrium, and we're certainly in one of those periods, aren't we?
Yes.
Enormous technological change, the move from a manufacturing, for example, to a service and knowledge economy, that it is possible to really see fundamental change. And that's because change is a constant, but the issue is, will it be a fundamental shift? And that's what this work is about. And we are doing work at the Center for Partnership Studies, which is the organization that really sprang out of this research. We have a caring economy campaign. We have an alliance to stop intimate violence, violence against women and children. Why? Because these are really fundamental cornerstones for a better society.
And at this point, Rianne, we want to invite Lisa and Teresa onto the air with us to let our listeners know the importance of community radio and listeners supporting community radio by calling 503-232-8818 or toll free, the number is 1-877-500-5266, or you can also hit us up online at kboo.fm. I do believe we have an $800 goal to reach before 9 o'clock, and we do that one person at a time, connecting, reaching out and saying, yes, this is in fact the sort of programming you want to be able to access. These are the ideas that you want in the public discourse, and you are excited to stand up and be a KBOO member now. Call 503-232-8818.
Hey, I want to jump in here and say breaking news. The Komen Foundation apologizes for recent decision, pledges to continue funding Planned Parenthood.
And KBOO.
Yes. Well, no. Komen Foundation does not support KBOO, but I just had to jump in with that breaking news message. They're completely backing down. But you are tuned into KBOO because you want to know what's going on in the women's movement. Yes, there is one. And this is the kind of programming that you're counting on, hearing from KABU, Rianne Eisler. I think the first time I heard Rianne Eisler ever was on KABU, ever heard her voice.
Yep.
And now for a $60 minimum pledge, that's only $5 a month.
Fine.
You can take home from the KABU archives, an hour-long talk featuring Rianne, talking about the chalice and the blade. And she was speaking at St. Mary's Girls School, I believe, in Portland, actually in 1994. This is the kind of thing that's fabulous to send to your family that have never heard of this, because your auntie, your grandmother, your mother, they have these urgings and they have these understandings and these instinctual thoughts, but they don't have any place to get more output or understanding that they're not alone. Isn't it true, Teresa?
It's true. We are so ready for your call now. We've got the pledge amount up on the dry erase board. It says goal $800. It says program code N40. It says Supervisor Wayne, but it's actually Supervisor Sam. And we're all ready. We're ready for your call. And so what I would like to suggest is that you join the thousands of people who pull this station along. And I would like to suggest that you do it by spending 3 minutes on the phone and call 503-232-8818, 503-232-8818, 3 minutes on the phone, pledge $10 a month. We would like to give you one of the lovely things that we have available. But you know, one of the things that I would like to promote right now, that would be a $180 minimum pledge. That'd be $15 a month. Okay, so for $15 a month, Ani and Lynn will meet with you for a private reading and consultation, combining their gifts of using tarot and astrology, often misunderstood, they write, as fortune-telling or predicting the future. Consultations are helpful in getting a big picture of a situation, gaining deeper understanding and insight. Now, let me tell you, I've had this, of course, and what I'm talking about, if you haven't had one, is a deck of 78 cards, beautifully laid out, long familiar to Ani and to Lynn, and the process works. You say do a 13 card spread, and what you're doing is you're drawing 13 cards out of that 78 deck, and you get 13 ways of looking at your proposition or problem. Now that's a good way to get counseling, and it is awesome, it is excellent, and people swear by it. So you can get that by calling 503-232-8818, 503-232-8818. Of course, we do have the Rianne Eisler tape, and you won't find that at Borders. And the toll-free number is 877-552-66, 877-552-66. These books and this information from Rianne Eisler, this is transforming the culture, and you could be right on the edge of that. And, of course, joining KBOO is being a part of the transformation of the society that, hooray, is finally happening.
I was going to say, we are, in fact, in a transformative period, and you're involved in it because you're alive. You're breathing on this planet right now. It really is about informing yourself and participating about which directions we take out of the transformation. Where do we shift the energy to? What are we trying to build and create? 503-232-8818, because you know community radio, KBOO, is an important part of that discussion. We bring vital information and points to the discourse that we are ongoing with each other. This is how we build the new world. We talk with each other. We share vision. We look at things that, in fact, have not worked, have not served our interests, have not gone well. Things that, in fact, bring us environmental degradation, that bring us the subjugation of women, that bring us racism, that bring us deep class divisions. And we say, let's look at something else. Let's not do these things anymore. What is that something else? Nature abhors a vacuum. So what do we bring in instead? Well, we can actually look back in the historic record and cross-culturally and find that, in fact, other worlds have already existed. It's not just some wild pie in the sky sort of idea, that we can, in fact, move towards a place of cooperation, a place of egalitarianism, a place where joy is valued. 503-232-8818, 1-877-500-5266, or online, KBOO.com. anchor.fm.
Nature abhors a vacuum, and I do two damn dusty things.
Anyway, but no, what I really like about the fact that for a $180 minimum pledge, which you can take the entire year to pay, that you can get the private tarot astrology consultation with Ani and Lynn. What I love about that is that that is how, actually through a lot of human history, people didn't go to a psychiatrist's office. No, they didn't. And that's kind of what Rianne's role is here in this modern age. Rianne Eisler, she's trying to connect people, women in particular, but also men too, trying to make us understand where we've come from and where our real roots are. And that's why we love to have her on the air at KBOO, and that's why we're asking you to support this radio station because of the unique programming that we have. And Teresa Mitchell is right, that for that $60 pledge, and you get the recording of Rianne's talk at St. Mary's School, the shift from the blade to the chalice. Yeah, that will not be at Borders. Do you know why? Because Borders was swallowed by Barnes & Noble. And, you know, that's part of why KBOO exists too. Because of all the media, all the institutions just get swallowed, swallowed, swallowed. But KBOO, we keep plugging along, but it's because you are supporting us. And we need you, yes, you, to pick up the phone and call. We're at 503-232. 8818. We have gifts to give you right now, and then we have gifts that you get with your membership card discounts for the whole rest of the year. Toll free outside the Portland area, 1-877-500-5266. We love to see people in person. Come in person, and you can get a tour of the station. You can meet Ani and Lynn. You can meet everyone here, and you can actually sign up for a training. We are located at 20 Southeast 8th Street in Portland, Oregon, because part of what your money goes to, and you should be calling us to contribute to this station, part of what your money supports is free media training for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that come through the door here at KBOO. This KBOO is an open book, and you make it that way. So we need to make these phones ring, 503-232-8818.
You can do it. I'm asking you to do it right now. I mean, who needs to do it? The people who understand the system and how it works and the impact
and
that KBOO
you.
Makes, and that's you. And so that means you right now, to the phone, please, or actually pull your phone out of your pocket. I guess that's how it works these days. Number 503-232-8818. Ani doesn't want to kill the gorilla, so she doesn't have a cell phone. I gave up a while ago. 503-232-8818, 503-232-8818. And yeah, it is you, and it is now. And we're talking about 3 minutes. You can do that.
So thanks very much. 503-232-8818. 1-877-500-5266. Please do give us a call right now, KBOO.FM. If it's a little early for you to talk to somebody, you can do it silently online. And we'll be glad you did. So will you.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you, all you pitching people. Rianne, I had a question. One of the ways we promoted the show, where we were talking of pleasure as a revolutionary act, and I am into that more than ever these days. I just keep watching a lot of misery happening to people. I mean, just on a day-to-day, oh, you think you finally got a hold of that? Oh, it's over. And I know that we're in an extremely transformative period where there's going to be a lot of that sort of thing, but how do you feel about pleasure as a revolutionary act?
Well, I think that it's a great revolutionary act. And indeed, if you really think about these two systems that I've been researching and that so many people are now finding really change their lives, because this is what I the kind of mail I get from both women and men, that understanding these connections has given them not only information, but really empowered them. What you see is something very interesting, that domination systems are really held together basically by either the infliction of pain or the fear of pain. Whether it's getting fired or whether it's getting killed or, whatever.
Right.
Or spanked or, whereas in partnership systems, what basically holds the system together is the giving and receiving of pleasure. And what's so fascinating is when I was doing the research for both the chalice and the blade and for sacred pleasure, Because, you know, that's a heresy, that title, isn't it?
Yes.
What struck me was how many of the religious images that we've inherited after the shift from more partnership-oriented societies to the domination system really are about either inflicting or suffering pain. Whereas in the earlier imagery, what you see is something very different. For example, you see the sacred marriage of the goddess and the god. And, you know, images that are really erotic, you see the focus not on taking life, but on giving life. I was stunned to see how the act of life-giving, which is really a sacred act, well, until very recently, I mean,
yes.
In schools, for example, if a, I mean, 30, 40, 50 years ago, if a teacher was pregnant, you know, that was not considered appropriate for the children to see, but it was okay for them to see people killing each other, right, you know, in films or in comics. But images of women giving birth were part of the sacred art. And it's so fascinating because also, it was really writing these books was a little bit like being a detective, like a Sherlock Holmes, because a lot of clues that seemed disparate, disconnected. I remember when I was a child, I always wanted to know, because, you know, in the Genesis, in the Bible, it says that because Eve, you know, ate from the tree of knowledge, that henceforth a woman would be subservient to men. And I wanted to know, well, henceforth, what was it like before? But nobody wanted to talk about it. I also wanted to know, why would a snake give advice, and why would a woman take advice from a snake? Well, nobody wanted to talk about that, but
and what
I
was wrong
out.
With knowledge? That was my always well, my question. What was wrong with having knowledge? Why was that
well, that
so
was
horrible?
my question, too. That's
yeah,
the question
you.
Of every sensible person.
Thank you.
But see, these stories really reflect a remissing. The fact that a woman would take advice from a snake, well, the serpent, all you have to do is to look at the Minoan images, these goddess priestess images. Women, the snake was associated with oracular wisdom, even in Delphi, right?
Right, mm-hmm. Sure.
The priestess, the pythoness, she got her wisdom. You know, this was already in Greek times, which were very domination-oriented already.
Right.
So that part of the story only made sense in terms of the old, more partnership-oriented reality. But the part about not being able to get knowledge independently, you know, gnosis, we call it, that's only part of the dominator, the later reality. And that's the reality that we're trying to leave behind now. And as you said, it's very exciting that we are living in a time when this tension between these two ways of living, and a tension in which, as I said, these fundamental primary human relations, how those are constructed, gender relations, parent-child relations are so foundational, and to change we have to really, because that's the base on which domination systems keep rebuilding themselves. You know, it's not coincidental, for example, that both Khomeini, when he came to power in Iran, or Hitler, when he came to power in Germany, getting women back into their, quote, traditional place, in a, quote, traditional family, which are code words for a subordinate place in a rigidly authoritarian, male-dominated, highly punitive family, that was a priority.
Well, do you see that sort of? I see that in this country at this particular time. Not legislated quite yet. But you know, we're losing some ground with Roe v. Wade. That's sort of being chipped away at, and it seems really important to stop that. I don't know quite how to put it. What would you say?
Well, you've put it very well. We have got to make ourselves heard. And the fact that the Kamen decision was reversed, and thank you for sharing that, shows that if we join together, if we raise our voices, not to scream, not to blame, but simply to say, do the right thing, there is a better alternative. We can bring about change. And really, if you look at modern history from this perspective, again, instead of looking random and disconnected, you see that every single progressive social movement has challenged traditions of domination. You know, whether it was the Enlightenment challenging the so-called divinely ordained right of kings to rule over their subjects, whether it was the feminist movement. And yes, we've got to really reclaim that word, you know, the new F word, feminism. And it's a very powerful and important movement that we have to continue. But that challenged another tradition, the so-called divinely ordained right of men to rule over the women and children in the, quote, castles, you know, military image of their homes. If you look at the civil rights, you know, first the abolitionists, then the civil rights movement, challenged another dominator tradition, the so-called divinely ordained right of one race to rule over an ostensibly inferior race, all the way to the environmental movement today, challenging man's once hallowed conquest of nature, which is at our level of technological development could do us in. But it hasn't been a linear movement, okay, these last 400 or so years. It's been a spiral, upward spiral. I mean, look, the European Middle Ages looked a lot like the Taliban. You know, the Inquisition, the Crusades, the witch burnings.
During the Christmas season, I looked back on some Dickens things, and I was going, thinking, this is looking very familiar. The way, right now, it's poverty is almost a crime. The way
well,
it was
you know,
then. I mean, there's been this regression, and people like you are doing work to try to humanize what is going on with humanity. You know, having a humane bone in people's body, as they say.
Well, we all have that humane bone, and domination systems, which are based on these rigid rankings, whether it's man over woman, man over man, religion over religion, race over race, and so on, you've got to really find ways of suppressing our innate human capacity for empathy, which we know from biology we have. But see, it's not functional, and our brain develops in adaptation to our environment and our social environment as mediated by families first. These, you know, we're back to gender relations, parent-child relations. The brain adapts, so empathy gets dampened, it gets compartmentalized, it gets suppressed. Our job is to really show that there is a viable alternative, and I have to say something. There are hierarchies in partnership systems. It isn't all cooperation. You know, people cooperate to do terrible things. You know, monopolies cooperate, terrorists cooperate, invading armies cooperate, and it isn't a completely flat organization.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have hierarchies. We need parents. We need teachers. We need managers. We need leaders. But they have what we have to. We need new words for new concepts. In partnership systems, you have what I call hierarchies of actualization, rather than hierarchies of domination, where power is, well, the power of the chalice rather than the power of the blade. It's empowering rather than disempowering. And the fact that we see these words today is a sign of partnership movement. But, you know, as you say, there have been periodic regressions. We're in the midst of a regression now worldwide. Fundamentalism is really dominator fundamentalism. It isn't religious fundamentalism. It's going back to the basics of domination systems, starting with the ranking of male over female, and you know, very punitive families and so on, all the way to holy wars. And we have to get away from this East versus West, North versus South as well. It doesn't get us anywhere. There are domination systems on both sides. So our job is to really identify what our alternatives, and most important, that we can all be part of building the foundations for partnership systems.
We want to talk to Teresa and Lisa again and see how we're doing and encourage people to support Community Radio, support KBOO. That vehicle that, in fact, allows all of this to happen. Day after day, we bring you great programming from the community and for the community.
24/7.
Produced by volunteers like us. So it's important that you yourself are a part of it. It is, in fact, a mutually aid sort of based system. You benefit from the radio. We need your participation in making it happen. 503-232-8818. Or toll free 1-877-500-5266. Again, locally 503-232-8818. Give us a call right now, and you can pick up from the vaults, from the archives. We have a tape lecture of Rhianne Eisler speaking in 1994. If you are interested in her work, it's a great historic talk given at St. Mary's Academy downtown. Again, yours for a $60 contribution this morning to 503-232-8818. Or if perhaps you are interested in a little introspective check-in period, you can have
we'll
myself.
We'll take you out to tea and give you just that.
You can have myself and Lynn as your thank you gift for $180. Indeed, we'll take you to tea. We'll read your stars and your tarot cards and generally have a great talk about your life. 503-232-8818. 1-877-500-5266 and online kboo.fm. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning. I'm Teresa Mitchell. I'm here with Lisa Loving. Here
on
who's feeling just fine.
Stuck in there now.
I know. I'm sorry.
Here on KBOO
Pacific
Portland.
Northwest.
Yes, this has been spread around here. And Agnes actually called in and got the $15 a month. Tarot reading.
You rock, Agnes.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And so she will get that consultation. I know that she will benefit from it. You can get one too. 503-232-8818.
And it's fun. That consultation is fun.
You just talked over the phone number, Lynn, and now I'm doing it.
Come in person. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th Street, and you can meet the two charming women bickering about the phone number of the other room. Seriously.
503-232-8818.
You know, I have to say, too, that when you do join, you pick up the phone or you and give us a call, 1-877-500-5266. You actually get a KBOO membership card in the mail. You become a card-carrying member of KBOO. And that card gives you discounts at businesses all over the Cascadia, as we are calling it, subduction zone. You get a 20% discount at Adventures in Woo, Flower, Gem Essence Consultations, Crystal Classes, all that sort of thing. You get a 20% discount from Faye Petrikowski, the animal psychic. Amazing. I have to put that
You know what
out.
Else you get?
What?
I just found out the other day because the worker knew me and knew I was a member of KBOO and reminded me that I can get free coffee or tea at the Red and Black.
The Red and Black Cafe. I have to say, too, that when you do give us a call, 1-877-500-5266, you get your membership card. You get this list of places all over the region where you get these discounts. You know what? The thing is, when you whip that card out, the people behind the counter love it.
Yes.
These people are KBOO fans, too. And I remember pulling my KBOO card out at my favorite bagel shop that's over at Fremont and 42nd and having this long chat about with the owner because he loves gospel music. He loves the early Sunday morning programming. And then we shared stories about what we liked the most. And I love that. That's the whole thing. You give us a call, 503-232-8818. We can give you a copy of the Rhianne Eisler lecture about the shift from the blade to the chalice, and our pals are talking to Rhianne right now. But see, you get that gift right now, and you get discounts, but you're joining something. You're becoming part of a community. We're all standing together to try to make this world a better place. What I like about Friday morning talk radio is that this is actually a very spiritual show. It's a show where people can come together and talk about our feelings and our beliefs, and you don't have to feel like, oh, I'm not Christian, no one's going to listen to me. Do you know what I'm saying? You don't have to fit into every box that the mainstream puts out there. That's what I like about Friday Talk Radio, personally. But anyway, we need you to come down in person. We're at 20 Southeast 8th Street in Portland, Oregon. You can join online, and that would be kboo.com. FM.
How are we doing out there?
We need to raise $620. We've got $180 in, which we're very glad for. And
how many phone calls is that?
That is one
just
phone
one.
Call. Actually, that's Agnes.
And, no, how many phone calls more do we need to get our goal?
Only one $620 pledge will do
that's
it.
That's what I was going to say.
503-232-8818.
Do the math, Teresa. I count on you.
We are ready for you, actually. Now we've got the dry erase board giving us the updates. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4 phone volunteers.
We are ready
for
you.
Call.
Let's just go ahead and leave it with
that.
We're
talking about 3 minutes on the phone. You can do that.
Because it's so important that you, in fact, join your community and join with others in your community to support what it is that supports you, your values, your life. KBOO's inherent values, and it's written right there in the program charter. And
hey,
this
how
is,
many contributing members do we have, Ani?
Was I in the middle of a sentence, Teresa?
Yes.
So we've been married for 17 years, Teresa and I. We actually met at a KBOO membership drive. Okay. So KBOO membership drive, it works for us. We have about 5,300.
5,300.
Okay. So, but we want you to be a part of that. And you know, basically, it works very simply because our values, again, are our democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, peace, environmentalism, freedom of expression, and social change. Those are the values that are written into our programming charter. That is why it is so important that you yourself stand as a part of this with the greater community so that we can all embody those values in our daily life. We can support media that broadens the public discourse towards these ends so that we can actually have meaningful conversation about what peace looks like, about what democracy looks like, about what multiculturalism looks like. These are the very important conversations that we need to have so that we can, in fact, shape that new world. 503-232-8818, 1-877-500-5266, or online, kboo.fm. Again, for your $60 contribution, you can become a KBOO member and you can take a copy of Rianne Eisler's talk from 1984 from our archives. KBOO, again, we're 44 years old now this year, and we have a long tradition of field recordings and archiving very important talks that have happened in this area over the last 40 years. And I'm excited that we're able to offer one of those up this morning. Also, for that $180 pledge, myself and Lynn, you a couple hours, some tea and some tarot and some astrology. It's one of those things you can do for yourself or have as a gift for others. Whatever you choose to take away is your special thank you gift. Know that the real value you get is KBOO, your community radio station. 503-232-8818. Final words there for a moment?
Yeah, I actually have to say, so listen, we're talking to you. We need people to give us a call. I don't know what you're doing right now, but if you're tuned in, we've got your number in so many ways. We, you know, give us a call and we're gonna give you gifts right now. You're gonna get discounts all year long. The thing pencils out. But more importantly, you know that as you're moving through the planet, you're actually investing in a community that's trying to make this world a better place. And we can't do that unless you pick up the phone. Come on, what are you doing? What are you thinking about? You know? What? 503-232-8818. Come on, get on it.
I love Lisa's excitability in the morning. Okay, so do please call right now, 503-232-8818, 1-877-500-5266, online, kboo.fm. Do it now. Please join us. You'll be glad you did. And I want to once again return our attention to Rianne, who's been patiently waiting with us. Good morning, Rianne.
Good morning, and I'm so glad that you really are using that tape because I was remembering how much I enjoyed doing that particular talk. It was we talked about so many things in our past that connect with our present and our future, and, I just hope that people enjoy it, because I know that I enjoyed doing it.
It was a wonderful talk. I was there.
Oh, you were there.
Yes.
It was 1994. I remember it.
She was but a little sprout at the time. Way back then. That other century. But yes, and so again, these ideas
you have put out there for you know, the last 20 plus years.
Well, it's our hidden heritage, and this indeed. Is the thing. But it isn't only our past. It really is so important because of what it tells us about our present and the possibilities for our future.
Indeed.
And that is the whole point of it. And that's one of the reasons that I'm so involved now in really trying to change the economic system. Because we have to, you know, I wrote The Real Wealth of Nations, and the subtitle is Building a Caring Economics. And, of course, building a caring economy, you know, putting caring and economics on the same sentence, that is another heresy, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
And I can hear people out there, Rianne, saying, well, how would you do that? So,
well,
let them know.
Let me tell you, the first thing to do is to join our Caring Economy campaign. And the campaign has several components. You can find out about them at partnershipway.org, which is our website, partnershipway.org. And one of the most exciting components is our online leadership training program. And it's a fabulous program where you really get to meet people from all over the world who are doing wonderful, wonderful things, because we train you to really understand what a caring economy is about, and yeah, that caring societies build strong economies, that support for caring and caregiving brings economic success and a better lives, that gender matters, that when women and children thrive, so do all people and the economy. Mm. Things that are not part of the conversation but need to be. I mean, look, for example, we are moving, as I said, from a manufacturing to a service knowledge economy. The most important asset a society has in that kind of an economy is building a very strong human development, human infrastructure, human capital, they like to call it. And so our policies right now are not only inhuman, they are economically suicidal, cutting education, not investing in child care, not investing in early childhood education, when every single study, including my own work, shows that this is foundational to a more successful economy and, of course, to a better quality of life. And you look at nations like Sweden, Norway, Finland, which are more partnership-oriented, where women are about 40% of the national legislature. And as the status of women rises, because gender does matter here, it's the devaluation of caring and caregiving, as the status of women rises, men no longer feel like such a threat to their status, to their so-called masculinity, to also embrace more stereotypically feminine priorities, such as caring for people, starting in early childhood. So let's connect the dots. And so our online training is something I really invite you to. We're also working on new measures. You know, we're measuring the wrong things. GDP, which you see, you know, gross domestic product, you see it all over the place.
It's so gross.
It's gross. You're absolutely right. I mean, it includes activities that actually harm and take life. You know that making cigarettes, the medical bills, the funeral bills, they're all great for GDP. You know that oil spills are good for GDP because the cleanup costs,
right,
the lawsuits, they're all there. But not only do these measures of so-called economic health put negatives in as positives, they fail to include, and this is basic, and it's basic to women, because we will always be marginal unless we change this. They fail to include those activities that without which none of us would be here, without which there would be no workforce. The caring activities, the life-supporting activities in the household economy, the natural economy, the volunteer economy, of which women are such a major part. So we are working on social wealth indicators, and we're having a meeting in Washington, D.C. in May, bringing together experts to develop these indicators. You know, what's not measured is not counted. So we're working on many ways. Check us out. Go to the Rianne Eisler Social Action Facebook page. Go to our website, partnershipway.org. You can be part of the caring revolution.
Excellent. There's actually, you know, your book, The Real Wealth of Nations, I thought that was another groundbreaking work that you have brought out. And I know that it has really kind of grown roots in different communities. And people are carrying on the work on a very practical ground sort of level. And there is a group in Portland, The Real Wealth of Portland, giving visibility and value to our caring economic system. That does
There's
meet.
A lot going on in Portland.
There is.
My colleague Susan Carter is teaching at Merrillhurst, and she is giving courses on the power of partnership. She co-teaches with me, by the way, not only in the online training that we do from the Center for Partnership Studies, but also on the online transformative studies program at the California Institute of Integral Studies. So, yes, we are really growing a caring revolution, and you're part of it.
Absolutely. And, you know, Rianne, we are nearly out of time. There are so many things I would love to get into more. Looking at the fact that pleasure, you know, again, as you were saying, as a tool of control in this society, you know, we look at pain and fear being societal controls and a dominator paradigm, and pleasure being more one of these social bonding tools in a partnership paradigm. And looking at how, in fact, pleasure has been commodified, has been vilified, has been, you know, everything from being taught that it's just sort of frivolous to it's outright sinful in this society, and how life denying that is.
That's our dominator heritage, you know. Right. The good news is how many of us are rejecting it. And the good news is also that we live in a society with all of the problems in the West where women have the freedom to really have pleasure and seek pleasure, which they're denied in so many parts of the world. I mean, look at the genital mutilation of millions and millions of girls and women in Africa. Look at the so-called honor killings of women in so many parts of the Middle East and Asia. I mean,
And the rape culture that is really prevalent in our society now. And the sort of shaming of women in that area.
Well, shaming and killing are very different.
Absolutely,
okay?
True.
So, I mean, let's be clear that we have moved forward, and we have to continue to move forward. But the way to do that is not to really focus on what's wrong, I think, but to focus on what we can do to build foundations that are solid so that we can avoid these periodic regressions. Because, as I said, it's not coincidental that part of the regression, look, the defeat of the Equal Rights Amendment was a turning point in American history. It not only said, gee, women aren't entitled to constitutional protection, but it was the beginning of the rightist fundamentalist alliance in this country.
Yes.
They got together to defeat this amendment around a women's issue, and so many people who consider themselves progressive still think of these issues as just women's issues, as secondary. It's up to us to really show them, to connect the dots, and that's what this work is about.
Well, excellent. Rianne, that is a fabulous place to end this conversation for now. We'd love to have you on again, and thank you so much for spending time with us this morning.
And thanks for all of the work you do.
It's been a pleasure, and again, happy birthday.
Thank you.
And keep up your wonderful work.
Okay, thank you,
Thank you, and you. Bye-bye.
La 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 la